Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut on Eagle FM. And it's a clear sky, a little bit hot here in the capital, and it's festive season. It's December and it's the end of the beginning of the month. It's potato. So people are busy. So one of the reasons to basically watch out there, wherever you're tuned in from, this is your drive time show from here until the hour of six. And as always, when you hear either Pete's Helmut only or Helmut and Dwight or Dwight only, it's one exciting topic that's coming your way. So thank you for tuning in and do stay tuned. And if you're driving, I cannot stress this enough. It's festive season. Everyone is super excited, you know, to get to places, to do things and all that. You know, this is the time when, you know, some of those occasional Christian drinkers also, you know, go out there and wearing hoodies in summer and, you know, advise people around them, okay, you know what, I'll go, look, I'm gonna go and chill with you just this once, actually twice, New Year and Christmas, just this twice. But as long as, you know, we're not taking any photos, because there by church, I'm known as a deacon, a very holy man. But, you know, sometimes even a deacon likes to go out there and shake something in a club every now and then. That is my way of saying welcome to Home Run with Helmut. Now, let's talk about one of those things that, that also multiply with activities, you know, and that's the digital world. And now today's discussion is going to be about cyberbullying. Was the subject I was, I initially decided to go with. But then halfway through, now I was trying to figure out, like, how can I bring this? Because it's, you know, it's important from time to time. It's important. Let me just say, it's very important to pick a topic that's more relatable at home. Can you imagine me talking about the French Alps? Seriously? Everyone will be like, do you even have a passport? The answer is, yes, I do have a passport. Have I been to France? Now, that is something that I'm looking forward to being a corrupt politician to do. Actually, more of Zanzibar than, you know, than Europe. It's just too cold for me. At least that's what I have been told. It's advisable to pick a topic, especially one that is relatable at home. So, cyberbullying. I was like, that's too general, even though it has an international, international in scope, because wherever, well, the digital transformation or the digital world, is basically, okay, digital transformation is taking place the world over. It's not just taking place in Namibia. So that means, you can talk about digital transformation and digital transformation is more often used in the positive aspects of anything digital type of discussions. But cyberbullying is sort of like one of those downside of advancing in technology. Take advancing in technology is a positive thing, because it allows for instant communication between family members, you know, your relatives that are in Asia, Europe, North, South America. Well, you don't have to write them a letter that will arrive once every 6 months anymore. You can just video call them using multiple platforms that are out there. That's a good thing. The terrible thing is that type of reach also comes with its own pros and cons. One is scamming. Back then, all you had to worry was about your neighbor stealing your cow. If you found your money missing, you called a village meeting, because you know that whoever stole that money, chances are very high they are from that village. Now, well, thanks to the 21st century and very advanced technology compared to, of course, our previous types of technologies, now you have to worry about someone stealing your money all the way from, North Korea, South Korea, China, well, Singapore, Middle East, you go to Europe. Anyone can steal your money from anywhere at the comfort of their living room. But that was not the idea behind the connectivity. The idea was to allow for instant communication. But, well, sometimes anything that mankind is going to come up with is going to have pros and cons. But today's discussion is not us looking at digital transformation, per se, or cyberbullying per se. Albeit it's going to be more, along the lines of cyberbullying, but it's more localized in terms of, discussion here at home. Yeah, but well, because the discussion of digital transformation is international in scope, it's easy to traverse between the two, international and national. Why are some of these discussions important to have? Last year, Namibia revealed its AI adoption type of awareness discussion. And, last week I did talk about cybersecurity awareness discussion that was also held, here at home. Even though that was a cybersecurity discussion with regards to mostly the financial sector, because the event was, co-hosted by Bank of Namibia and Bankers Association of Namibia. So that was more in a, that was more of a cyberspace safety with regards to predominantly finance. But today's discussion is cyber safety with regards to more like interaction, more like social interaction, because there are a lot of things that we do on as that we do on the internet that is somewhat very similar to things that we do in our physical reality, more like physical realm of our day-to-day interaction. Take for example, you can take money out of your pocket and hand me a physical hard $10 note and I'll accept it, but you can now, that's you giving me money physically. But you can send me any wallet. That would be you giving me money digitally. So now you have this, basically, consider it an alternate reality of some sort that we have, that have been created by the digitals, by digital technology. Anyway, that's just in the finance world. And take in a social setting, for example, there are a lot of people that have, I'm assuming some of them will be celebrating their, some of them will be celebrating their, or more like reading to each other their wedding vows, this, December, because they met online. We met on Facebook and it was love at first sight. When I looked at that profile, I knew she was the one. Don't steal my speech. Actually, well, thank heavens I didn't meet mine online. Thank heavens. Now moving on. Now, I'm not saying there's something wrong with meeting yours online. I'm just saying chances of you losing money from a Nigerian prince or princess are really high. So watch out. So they said that's also some form of scamming, which I went into in detail. I think, which I went into in detail using Angola, Zambia, and to some degree Zimbabwe in last week's home run discussion. I'll have to, revisit that again to try and find, which day was that. I think it was either Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, somewhere there. So if you want to listen to more like the financial heads up of how careful you must be in the digital realm, then just go to the Eagle FM app and then look at Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday home run of last week and you are good to go. If you want to laugh your lungs out and find out how it turns out how easy it is for me to cook women, just go to Mind the Gap of yesterday. I had to avoid, a lot of my friends after that, because I was afraid I was going to get punched in the face. So, today's discussion is digital transformation safety, aka, cyber security. In terms of not really cybersecurity, but cyber social interaction, just what to know and more like what to put in mind. Now, My main source of reference, actually, I have two. I have Futurism, which is my go-to digital, more like my Futurism is a platform that is personally my go-to because it's a global, it's actually world-renowned technology news platform. Everything that is more about, everything that's taking place in the, in the tech world, that's where I get it from. Now I have just realizing that I have to send them an invoice. Yeah, so that's the first one, and the next one is a discussion that was held last week by influencer Sundowner, the Sundowner guys. I also don't want to go deeper into describing those guys because those ones are very close to home. I'll be sending them an invoice ASAP, where they basically brought together, interested stakeholders, some of which flew in from Spain, and the former president of Costa Rica also participated in that discussion, albeit virtually. Now, she was the first woman to be voted in the president of Costa Rica. And, she's one of those people that basically gave her, her aspect of what it feels like to be in the, what it feels like to be criticized, especially as a woman in the sphere of politics, especially now that the internet has made it very easy to hide behind the keyboard. You know, during the good old days, if you said something stupid in front of someone, they had the, first of all, you thought like 100 times before saying something dumb, because chances are very high you were very close to the person that you'd be saying crap things about. Therefore, you knew that if you make a mistake there and they hear you, they're going to punch you in the face because you're in close proximity. But thanks to technology, the consequences of being held accountable for what you say and do online are becoming very blurry the more technology advances, especially with the advance of generative AI. It's very easy to get away. How often have you, because when you're scrolling through social media, the most savage part of social media is the comment section. If it's a funny video, the comment section is going to be even funnier. But if it's a cooking video, don't read the comments, because that's going to be bad. Why? It's because when it comes to something that I am typing, because I'm just laying in my bed on a Saturday afternoon feeling all lazy, and I come across this video of someone just doing something that basically contributes positively to society. They are not doing anything wrong. But I just decide to become a maniac and then just write some of the meanest thing. Well, it turns out that happens. It's very easy. And that's, unfortunately, it's human nature. It's not one of those things. Every time I say that, I always feel the need to follow it up with the fact that it's human nature doesn't mean we should just say, well, it's human nature. You know what else is human nature? When something scares you, it's human nature to run for your life. But one thing that I often found confusing and very counterintuitive, but it turns out it can help really, really, really save your life, is maintaining your composure. It's the first thing you are told in any type of self-defense. Maintaining your composure. Because if you freak out, you're not going to think properly, making you an easy target. I know. Maintaining your composure, very important. It's human nature to freak out, but it turns out freaking out easily gets you killed. Because chances are very high, if there was a storm of bullets, for example, at a crowded area, chances are very high. What a lot of people, the first thing that comes into your mind if there's, gunfire being sprayed from an unknown direction, what's the first thing that comes in the mind of a lot of us, especially civilians like you and me? That's if you're a serviceman, give us a break. The first thing that comes in our mind is what? Run. But can you really run faster than a bullet? No, you can't. Which is why I totally understand, more often, those ones that are military trained, If cover is far, first thing they do is get down. It's human nature to just want to run. But the question is, are you faster than a bullet? The answer is no, you are not. But there was this time that I dodged my mom's sandals. A bullet is faster than mommy's sandal, unfortunately. So ducking saves you more than running. Because let's face it, you can't run faster than a bullet. So human nature doesn't mean it's always a positive thing to do. It will save you. It will save you a lot of trouble. You have to understand that for a very long time, we didn't invent guns. So every time that something that basically scared the Moses out of you, it was very, you know, your natural instinct was to run, because most of those threats you could outrun. And then we developed this creative idea to start inventing, weapons that are faster than us. Well, now running is not an option. Now you have to go against every instinct that evolution or Mother Nature instilled in you to actually go down instead of running. Yeah. So in a short while, we're going to pay the bills and we'll continue on the other side. If you just tuned in, Home Run with Helmut on Eagle FM, and today's discussion is around the recent influencer sundown event that took place last week, Friday, Skyview Restaurant in Eros show off. As you can imagine, I watched the whole thing. It turns out they were even, guys, they were even told, don't worry, there is food here. So guys, let's start attending events. I'm saying less because I'm one of those people that's very lazy to attend events. But there's more often always, there's food.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Lipura nengeno wapubwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doini nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamwili nawa. Ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM. Onmora isatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kongerewa mbora hetatu natu mbali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
And welcome back. Now, let's dive in now, shall we? One thing to put in mind when it comes to discussions like this is that, it's going to bring up multiple topics, because the discussion was more focused on the positive use of social media. The positive use of social media, especially with regard, especially as it relates to women in politics. Because let's face it, ladies have it hard on social media. And how do I put this? I went through some of these things yesterday, but I wouldn't actually reference that. And that's because it's more often when something that goes more often when something goes terribly negative on social media. How do I put this? When it comes to women, women are very easy to sort of like a very easy target on social media. Now, some of the reasons behind that would be. Un momento, si vous plaît.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back. Just a little bit of a detour from there to, from there to an update coming in from the State House, where the president commissioned three task forces on health, housing and land, and economic recovery. Three, one on health, one on housing and land, and one on economic recovery. And here to give us an update of what transpired at that side today is HD. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Helmut.
How's the day?
A hot day, pretty hot today.
Oh yeah, it is hot.
But like you said, the president officially, I guess you could say, inaugurated these three task forces.
Yeah.
One being titled economic recovery, the other health, and then the other housing and land. They have about let me see how many people are in each. Let's say around between 10 and 15 individuals were appointed in
the task force.
Yeah, in the task forces. Okay. So we're probably looking at around plus minus 45 people, maybe slightly less. So, yeah, and they come from various sectors of the Namibian economy, obviously, private sector, public sector. The health one consists of mainly doctors, which I think is appropriate.
Yeah, very appropriate.
Yeah. And, so she mentioned for economic recovery, she said this will help unlock growth, strengthen investment, support youth innovation, and expand opportunities for the youth. She referenced post-COVID, a document that was commissioned by, I can't remember now exactly who, but she mentioned a post-COVID recovery document basically that this task force will use to guide them essentially on what they should do. And on health, she basically said that their mission is to bring health services to all Namibians, essentially, in short, is what she said. And then in housing, in short, what she said is to bring dignified housing and serviced land to all Namibians. And she said all three of the task forces will work in line with the NDP-6. So, yeah, that's, in short, that's what the president had to say today at the State House.
And I'm assuming they're also going to work in line with the ministry that has the mandate, like take housing, for example.
Yeah, I would assume so because, for example, for health, the health minister was there.
The health minister.
Finance minister was there. Your friend, Mr. Sankwasa, was there as well. So, yeah, she did mention also in her speech that, collaboration is necessary, not just...
My friend, that's it. That's misinformation, dude. Yeah.
Your compatriot, Mr. Sankwasa, was there.
Definitely. Compatriot. So, that's the right term.
Yeah. So she mentioned the collaboration is key, not only like within the task forces, but within like the different ministries and like the task forces have to work together as well.
Yeah.
Is a point she made sure to emphasize on.
Yeah, that working together, it's an interesting thing because now there's a term that was used by the Office of the Auditor General when they compiled a report, a progress report.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was on Ministry of Agriculture of Environment or Environment and Tourism, one of the two,
mm-hmm.
where they described that it's appearing that most ministries and SOEs are not collaborating in a lot of things. They're working. Yeah, I think the exact term that was used was that they're working in silos.
Yeah, that's a term that's been used a lot lately. Working in silos, she doesn't want that. I mean, that issue, you even hear from it, like within a ministry, you hear that there's departments within a ministry that are working in silos. So she wants the task forces to work together, like as a, like the,
basically
everyone in the economic recovery should work together. Yeah. Everyone in the health should work together. Everyone in the housing one should work together. And then all three should work together as well. So it should be a, yeah, it should be a massive collaborative effort is what she's requesting from.
Massive collaborative effort. I like political language.
is what she's requesting from the individuals that were that were asked to be in the task force.
Yeah.
So there's people like Sven Tima, part of the task force. Let me see who else I have here. People like, Josiah Hanua in the task force. Yeah, and the other names I'm unable to confirm until I get the official list. But like I said, the health one has various doctors in it.
Professionals, like yeah. Doctors, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I'm assuming the one for housing is also having, you know, like, you know, engineers and stuff.
Yeah, I think it's mainly people that are, you know, in the construction sector.
Like experts in the field.
Yeah, experts in the field that, I guess I'll have to do some research on after this were names that were not necessarily familiar to me, but I'm sure some of the listeners might know the names. People like Bruce Stewart I have here, Julius Namolo. Yeah. People of that nature. Johannes Likondo, it says here. So maybe the listeners know, these individuals and their track record. But, yeah, over the next few days, of course, we will be able to provide more detailed information on this task force. And then they said also their inaugural meeting will take place early in the new year. The date not confirmed yet though.
So it's just early next year, but the date is to be confirmed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before you start running wild with information, the date is to be announced.
Yes.
The date is to be announced of the inauguration.
Of their first meeting as a task force.
Their first meeting.
Yeah.
Now this event was their inauguration.
Yeah. This was just to basically tell the public that
this is
what we have formed and this is who's part of the task force. And they each got like an envelope. I'm not sure what's in the envelope. Maybe their mandate or something. I don't know.
I'm but really, yeah. You see, that's one of those reasons why I don't attend events. Because I think I would have been on the floor if those envelopes were brown. But no, that has nothing to do.
No, not those kind of envelopes.
Yeah, not those kind of not those kind of envelopes.
Yeah,
it's just a clear presidential instructions. I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for the update.
Yeah, that's all I had to share today. And
task force, ladies and gentlemen, that was HD giving us an update of the task force that the president basically unveiled to us this mm-hmm. afternoon at 3 o'clock. That's the three task forces, health task force and housing and land, and the third one being
economic
recovery.
Oh, and to add, the task force were formed as a result of the public-private forum that took place some weeks ago.
Yeah.
So that was one of the resolutions that came from this public-private forum was the formation of this task force.
Hence, the members are made up of both the members of the public and private sector.
Exactly. Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, quick break, then we come back to Home Run. Thanks for the update.
No problem.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Tune in to the home.
Welcome back. And now back to Home Run. So where was I? How social media is somewhat more brutal on women, especially when it comes to things that are, you know, slanderous, consider it. I mean, call it that. And earlier this year, something interesting happened, or more like something diabolical. Sorry to go full verbosity. Happened in South Korea that is still stuck in my head because I remember reading about it earlier this year. So what happened was a website had to be banned. You know how your account gets banned on a platform when you're violating community guidelines? This website had to be banned from the internet What did they do that was very terrible? Well, this is where a lot of us that are not tech savvy can barely see what is wrong with what's going on in the world. More like, especially in the world of, in the digital world. And it's very difficult to, now it's very difficult for us to find some of the information that is really dark on the internet. Unless you're one of those people that go around poking on the dark web, but about which I wouldn't recommend. I would not recommend. First of all, it's not safe for your computer. Two, it's not safe for your money or your personal information. Three, it's not safe for your sanity because you are going to run into websites that you will show you things perhaps you should not be seeing. And you are going to spend the rest of your life in therapy. Now, what happened in somewhere around April in South Korea was that a website called Genomis was actually terminated offline. It went offline because it was basically shut down. And that's after after a Ukrainian cybersecurity researcher Jeremiah Fowler found something very disturbing on that website. But let's pay the bills. We'll continue on the other side.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
A Ukrainian cybersecurity researcher Jeremiah Fowler made an alarming discovery of tens of thousands of AI-generated X-rated images created by a software that is that is also affiliated to that website, and the name of that software was called Nudify. I'll let you just take the word, take the name of that software, and then you can draw a conclusion as to what that software was used for. Nudify. Now, this is where human psychology now comes in. In any society across this planet, there are always more men that are interested there are always more men that are interested in female nudity than the other way around. There are not a lot of women out there that are running around thinking, oh, man, would you look at that? But when it comes to my gender, oh boy. And we are not broken. We are not broken. We are just wired that way. We're just abusing it. It's worth noting. So, what this website, or more like what this software did was all they needed was your picture. Just your picture. Now, how many of us have our pictures on, all over the internet? Yeah, some of us have pictures on social media platforms we created in high school and lost the past. Actually, we don't even know. We even forgot that how many platforms we created, accounts on, and how many, and whether these accounts are still active and what information is there and how it can be used in some evil way. A lot of us have that. And then that brings us to the security, or more like a false security of our electronic devices now. My gender, as you can imagine, first of all, you have to understand, there are a lot of inventions, including high heels, that were invented by my gender. There are a lot of female outfit that we invented. That was not by accident, which is why I said we are not broken. It's just the abuse of this natural tendency of taking, of wanting to, or more like taking interest in the female gender. Now, with that, that's basically what's being monetized in some kind of a very evil way all over the internet. There are a lot of fully grown adults that are caught, that are caught with child nude material every year. Now, at this point, you're asking yourself one question. What is a fully grown man doing with pictures of kids without their clothes on? That's just disturbing on a whole another level. But in the world of internet, unfortunately, That's what we'll have to do to deal with on a daily basis. Now, you have to understand, if you are dealing with, if you have people out there all over the internet so disturbed in their heads, they are willing to, you know, they have a hard drive. There's one gentleman, I think, you know, an old man, I think in his late 50s, early 60s, was arrested, I think, was that in the US or Europe, arrested with a hard drive, I think, of about a terabyte of child pornography. A terabyte? Jesus, dude. At this point, you don't need prayers or psychologists. At this point, we don't know what you need. Perhaps a whole planet. And now, at which the comedian part of me, every time I look at that, I'm like, if I ever rise to office, the offense would be castration. No, therapy, jail, I'm not wasting time with that. Jail is, rehab is not what you need, but that's me. I'm just going straight to the bandizo with a rubber ring. Kettle style, full stop. Because what do you mean you have a terabyte of child nudity? Again, unfortunately, the digital world we live in, the digital world we, we have built for ourselves, that is how dangerous it is, unfortunately. Now, because of this whole natural, more like a one-sided proportion of one gender being more interested in seeing the nude material of the other gender than the other way around, the biggest consumer of X-rated material are men. Now, how many men do you think would be interested in watching that material if there were no women in? Again, natural tendency, natural inclination. There's nothing wrong with it, except when it's being done on a scale like a terabyte and a worse of kids. Now, even if that terabyte of that information is not for kids, as long as it's not someone who willingly gave you that material, why they would do that is beyond me. That's still nuts. One thing that the Minister of ICT, Emma Tiofelo, pointed out at that event, at that influencer sundown last week, was internet stalking. Yeah, it's a real thing. Have you ever gone through your social media and see that this person have, this person has viewed your profile? Well, there are people that are taking that to a little extreme, to the point where you are now looking through, getting someone's phone number, getting their address, and then you start, circling their, their earth with a pair of binoculars. I don't know what movie you watched and whatever twisted way that romance have been portrayed in modern day movie in terms of toxicity in mentality, but that's where people call the police. You viewing my profile once, I don't have a problem with that. You frequently viewing my profile, and then now you have my phone number, and then you have a bunch of pictures, and now you have created a whole shrine in your house. And then, you have address and then my work home routine. Well, that's just, that's easy. Let's pump the brakes here. But again, that's the world we live in. I managed to put together an audio of a part of this, part of the speech that was given by the Minister for ICT. Influencer Sundowner, because at this point, at this event, they were addressing influencers, and the idea was, to mostly talk to, talk to content creators and basically make them aware of just how dangerous this content that we're putting out is. Because if you have 2,000 people looking at what you put up, what you put up on a daily basis, that means you have a lot of social perception influence out there, which can be very positive if you are putting out positive content, and which can be very negative if you are putting up very negative content. Now, you have to understand that as a content creator also, you have a lot of power with regards to the content that you put up. Choosing the positive one is a good start. And also understanding that, I know that it's not very easy if you are looking at 20,000 comments down a video. How I wish. But you are given this feature where you can disable the comment section or delete some of the content, or more like create your own somewhat mini community guideline that's tailored to your platform to ensure that comments that have this and this and this and this type of keywords must be filtered out. And you see this a lot, you see this being implemented a lot. I see that with all the platforms that I use. You can filter out comments. Now, talking to content creators, the Minister of ICT pointed out several things. One was how especially psychologically, how cyberbullying is not very different from physical bullying. Not very different. It has the same psychological impact on the victim. That's two. She did point out that it's worth knowing that before you start, I know that there are a lot of bots on the internet, but it's important to realize that there are real people out there that you could be hurting by the content or you're putting up or the comments that you are making. There are real people out there that have family members. That have family members that rely on them for a smile. That means every time that you say something that affects someone, a lot of people out there are also affected. People closer to that individual. Now, this is the distance that we have basically created with technology. Because if I'm sitting in the comfort of my living room, it's just me and my smartphone. It's just the pixels on my screen. That's what you are reduced to. And on your screen, I'm just reduced to pixels on a screen. That's all. But you have to understand that on the other side of Helmut's social media account is a human being with emotions. Human being that can get hurt. In the very same way that you are viewing my account because you have created an account. So every time that I come across your account, it's very easy for me to look at that as, just pixels on my screen. But on the other side of that account is the real you that can get hurt by things that I can say or do on my platform. So this is what the influencers are told. And then she spills over into something that obviously every influencer is interested in in being updated on, and that's the monetization discussion. So before I go on a rant, I managed to put together to cut out a piece of that discussion, especially a part of the speech that was given by the Minister of ICT, Emma Teofelis. Okay, I really have to confirm something here because yeah. Un momento, s'il vous plaît.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ikuranenge no wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwepo tete opoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuwa onongeshe faa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebito danjuka okukwetera oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetera o special ange tashake ngeje pa omarudi dayo loka opone ujendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
And welcome back. While I actually perform my tech, because I think I've had a little bit of an issue, but it's not a big one that I need my whole IT team to sort out. That audio is coming to you in a 1, 2, 3, 4. Single. I don't even know why I'm counting in Portuguese at this time. And it's loading until Jesus comes. Okay. And we are in business. Oh, and we have one. We already have a commercial break coming up. And that's. Then we are just going to be listening to the audio on the other side. Home Run with Helmed on Eagle FM. Please stay tuned.
Some things kind of have to be together, right? Imagine. Pop, but no flakes. Never. Or a goal without a celebration. And friends, but no Tassenberg.
Now that's just not right. Tassenberg. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
The best connections and moments are worth remembering, don't you think? Grab one of our great-tasting non-alcoholic drinks, Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon, anytime, anywhere. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Now, welcome back. I really want to shorten the time of, because my, you know, the time that we need, more like the time, want to make sure to not to do a lot of commercial breaks, because we have one coming up at 6:15 and I have like a 9 minutes. Yeah, now that's the right one. The voice you're about to listen to is one that is very familiar, that you, if you are regular, if you know your leaders, then you're familiar with it. That's a voice of Emma Teofilos, the minister of MICT, speaking at influencer Sundowner last week on the positive use and the positive use of social media, the positive use of social media, especially as a content creator. Please take a listen.
You might not fully know this, but you occupy one of the most important leadership positions in this modern world. You shape narratives. You shape identity. You shape public perception. And your collective reach of thousands of followers makes you one of the most powerful constituencies in this country. With this influence comes responsibility, as President Chinchilla has said, to uphold integrity, respect, and of course, truth. The theme for tonight is influence with integrity, safeguarding Namibia's digital space, which reminds us that impact means very little if it comes at the cost of misinformation, disinformation, fake news, division, or harm. We know the digital world comes with challenges such as cyberbullying, online harassment, privacy breaches, body shaming, hate speech, and the ever-growing spread of disinformation. But it also presents vast opportunities, opportunities to educate, to uplift, to build communities, to challenge harmful norms, and amplify the stories that matter. Earlier this morning, we had a seminar on looking at how social media or the ethical use of social media impacts young women in politics. And the truth of the matter is that there are these various ways in which social media is pushing some voices onto the margins, pushing voices on the fringes of the platforms that many of us occupy, where it's now popular to create clickbait material, no matter if it harms somebody's mental health, because you are taking their image and using AI to alter it, or you're taking deepfake videos and images to spread on social media without any care that behind a platform, behind an account, is a real person, an individual with feelings, with a future, with a reality, with people that look up to them, with friends and family that consider them valuable. So it's two sides of a coin that will not always reconcile, but it's our responsibility, the users and occupiers of these platforms, to make it safe for everybody to fully utilize them. So what is the purpose of tonight's Sundowner? It's fivefold. One, to sensitize you, our Namibian influencers, on the ethical use of social media practices. We want you to use your platforms as tools for positive impact. Secondly, we want you to foster alliances between yourselves, government, civil society, and law enforcement to strengthen platforms and demand better when it comes to the safety of online places. Third, to create a platform for dialogue on the challenges and opportunities of online influence. It's up and coming, monetization, but also about responsibility. I don't know if you saw what happened in SA with some influencers getting into a bit of trouble. So again, no regulation, but there must be some guidance and some parameters on how we can be responsible with our influence. Fourth, to mobilize influencers to pledge their commitment to ethical influence and digital safety. And lastly, to showcase Namibia's leadership in promoting responsible digital practices. As a government, we see you not just as content creators, but as partners in national development. Your voices can counter false narratives, create awareness during crises, promote mental health, support victims of abuse, and champion the values that bind us as a people. Again, early in the morning, I spoke about the 16 days of activism we are observing now, this international and global movement to actually speak out against gender-based violence. And I said it earlier in the week when I was at the Films Commission launch of the Prop and Creative House, that we have a responsibility to counter digital violence online. It's completely the same with offline abuse. It's the same impact. The harm is equated both online and offline where digital violence is concerned, because it's meant to silence. It's meant to shrink you. Online violence makes you lose your confidence. So we must endeavor to speak out against violence both offline and on online spaces. And I specifically thank these two partners, the Ministry of Justice and NAMPOL, because we are working on our cybercrime bill. And the bill really is integrating aspects of criminalizing cyberbullying, criminalizing online harassment, criminalizing cyber stalking, which in many cases ends up being real stalking because the person actually finds out where you live and could cause you harm. So all of these matters around how the digital world is evolving will be captured in this law, meant to protect, not to stifle, not to make it difficult for one to have opportunities online. But just like any new industry or any new anything, sometimes you need to have proper legislative steps in place to hold those who will abuse the space. And we know this happens more than not in many instances. Let us all keep in mind that in the digital age, every post, every story, and every share carries power to inform, power to inspire, and yes, power to mislead or harm when not used responsibly. Now, coming back to the monetization conversation, and I've said this a few times now, we've had multiple engagements with Apple Pay, PayPal, Google AdSense, YouTube, TikTok. Which one am I forgetting? But we've made multiple conversations with these actors to ensure that Namibia is not left behind when monetization is concerned. And they'll give you the usual excuse, oh, your population is just too little. We think it's not a big enough market for us to actually invest in, because in order to enable, they need to go through the Bank of Namibia regulations. That requires commitment in terms of capacity, human capacity and capital, and sometimes money for them to invest in actually sort of like switching on the monetization channels in the country. But our resolve is that there is no way that we have Namibians on your platforms, using your platforms, sometimes even paying for your platforms, and you actually then do not have them be able to benefit from said platforms. And we gave a few examples of countries with similar sizes like ours that are fully monetized, and therefore that excuse does not hold water. But we're in continuous discussions. I know there has been not an announcement. There's actually been a leak with the recent information with PayPal. There's no announcement yet, so wait until everything is finalized. But yes, good news. But until everything is clear, the announcement will come. But just be rest assured that at the ministry, we are working diligently to ensure that Namibian creatives, influencers, and it goes beyond social media creators. We want to enable the entire ecosystem of payments to benefit authors, to benefit composers, people, you know, beyond social influence, but to cater for the entire creative industry as a whole. We want to make sure that music producers, composers are able to be properly compensated when their music goes on some streaming platforms. So it's the entire chain.
It's the entire chain, and welcome back. So we continue. That is the Minister of ICT, of MICT, Ministry of Information, Communication, Technology, speaking at the Influencers Sundowner last week, Friday, to a group of influencers. Now, this is the part that a lot of African countries, African countries, on the leadership level, the power that influencers has, both in the economic and political and social world, it's more often underlooked. But you know what? Influencers are taking over the marketing world, and it's very aggressively. Because why do I have to spend money on a marketing firm when I know I can spend money on just one or two influencers at a fraction of the price? Because you are not dealing with an organization with 500 employees. It's just one, maybe it's just a group of about, 10 guys? And that's even a large group. I'm able to produce my content at the comfort of my living room. And I do that alone. Now, here's the thing. Clickbait. Rage bait. Yeah, that's the word that was used. Rage bait is when, rage bait is something that is more often not really, rage bait is a word that's thrown around left, right, and center. But people, especially every time that we talk about cyberbullying with regards to rage baiting content, we don't really look at it in a sense, we don't really look at it deep enough. A rage bait content is content that is intentionally made to be incendiary, so that it can attract as much, as much interaction as possible. Take for example, if I made a video, saying a lot of questionable things against one tribe. How much anger do you think that will generate? of course it's going to generate a lot of anger. A lot of people will comment on that video. A lot of people will share that video. That's exactly what I want. Why? It's because the algorithm of most, if not all, social media platforms push what is mostly shared and commented on and viewed. The more a video is viewed, the more a video is shared, the more a video is commented on. The algorithm is thinking, this must be good content. Make I push it. And then all of a sudden it's going, all of a sudden it's gone viral. Now, if you heard the minister point out something like, have you heard of what happened in South Africa? I don't want to put words in the minister's mouth. But, when she said that, the first thing that came in my mind, was this podcast, South African podcast called Open Chats. Open Chats, for those of you that were following what was going on back in August, the condemnation went really rife back in August. But the podcast was aired somewhere, I think it was sometime around in late July. This is just a podcast. And everyone kept saying, I mean, they're just a bunch of guys. I mean, it's just a podcast. I mean, what influence do they have? Until one day when they said some of the most colorful things, no pun intended, against the colored community. Oh boy, that didn't end well. Well, for them, as they should.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Now, minus the whole monetization part, I can dive much into that. And the laws are being obviously still being crafted. The laws, especially the cybersecurity bill and access to information. Oh boy, especially there by cybersecurity. Hey, there we've been thinking about coming up with that law for the past, what, like, I don't know, 5-10 years? We'll sort it out. Relax. But guys, it's taking forever. Now, the most important part that I want to focus on over why this is, why this conversation is worth having is whether you like it or not, even if you don't like social media and you don't give a crap about influencers, you have family members, you have kids who do. So what they put up is going to impact everyone. If you have relatives that are influencers, what they put up is going to impact a lot of people. If you don't have any influencers, so, you know, more like a social media person, personality individual, you are going to be, you or your loved one or two of us, every one of us, either directly or indirectly, are going to be impacted by content that's put up by influencers, whether we like it or not. The power in terms of influence, hence influencers, that's now coming out of this influencer space, is being felt in the Western world, where you are seeing politicians working in close proximity with influencers because of the rally, because of the numbers they rally behind them. According to, I came across an article, if you had the minister point out that, like Chinchilla said. Now, Chinchilla was the 46th president of Costa Rica. And she was the first female president, and she was in office from 2010 to 2014. She also spoke at that event, and she was, she addressed virtually, and she did give her account, and give her account of what she had to go through when it comes to more like social media negative perception of of just her on a lot of level, both political and also as a woman. I mean, what can she do? Type of things. And then we also had personalities here at home who had to give their account of how it feels to be on the receiving end of cyberbullying, basically, because that's what it is. One of them being an MP and the other being a model. Yeah. It turns out it's very easy to this is one of those things that requires some degree of maturity, in terms of personal growth as an individual. Because it's very easy to say a lot of negative things against someone when you know that you are just, hiding somewhere in a basement. But, which is, that's basically what scammers do. There are a lot of videos, there are a lot of videos that you'll find on social media of one guy. I'm not sure if he's European or American. What he does is basically hunt scammers. The first thing he would do is, because he's very good at it, he has his entire team. They more like call them anti-scammer type of group. And they're basically a group of hackers. Now what they do is they will locate a scamming house, because this is an empire you are looking at. This is an industry. This is a group. So the first thing they would do is locate a group of scammers and then hack their system and then basically then just start messing with them. And what they do, especially when it comes to the content they put up on social media, for the most part is that they will call this group of scammers and basically record everything. And they start by telling them, is your name really this and this and this and this and that? Now, of course, a scammer at this point is just like, yes, of course, that's my real name. I'm calling for Microsoft. What they would do then is give them their entire detail that's basically on their ID. And here's one thing that you will see in a lot of these videos. Most of the scammers, when they find out that, oh boy, this person is giving me the name, that's the name and the name and location that's on my license or ID, a lot of them freak the heck out. That then begins to show you more often the bravery that we portray when we are writing comments or more like negative comments on people, we do that more often because we know that, who is going to find out who I really am? Because my name is Helmut at Eagle FM, and on social media, I'm the Dark Ned. I mean, who even knows who the Dark Ned is? No one is going to know. No one is going to tie this account to the real me. Therefore, I can just do a lot of things that I wouldn't otherwise do if my real information was on this account. That was one. And my favorite part about this minister's speech was there was a leak. I think there's some kind of monetization development that's taking place in ICT, and the information. I'm not sure if that was ICT or what ministry, but because the minister did not specify on that, but that information was not supposed to come out yet, because you don't want to give people half baked information. Which is why she emphasized, wait for the announcement, people, wait for the announcement, wait for the official announcement. There was a leak. So, a leak would then entail that, that's a minister being diplomatic. Now, as for your stroll here, there's a snitch somewhere in there, in whatever office that information came out from. Na snitch, you be. Na snitch. I know. There is a snitch somewhere in there. So, it's important, it's important to realize that, the discussion of monetization, it's, well, basically being discussed. And, the cyberbullying psychologically, or cyber violence psychologically, has the same level, or more like the same impact in terms of psychological damage that it does. A lot of people basically annually, globally, take their lives annually because of social media. There's actually one TikToker that actually, well, took his life on TikTok. Now, that one, on the other hand, is an interesting story. He was basically bullied by, embarrassing enough, I think it was a woman that basically ruined that guy's reputation to the point where he decided to take his own life. Cooked up stories. And with that comes things like blackmail. With that comes things like scamming. Especially, scammers come in all kinds of ways, especially romance scammers. With all the view ones that you are sending, someone is keeping a record of those. Next thing you know, they are sending you copies of what you thought was view ones, telling you, it's either you send me $10,000 or I'll put this on platforms where even your closest family members will see them. Ouch. This is the situation you don't want to find yourself in. Because like every blackmail, romance scamming blackmail is not very different, because you have no way of being 100% having 100% assurance that if you send this money that they're asking for now, they will not make that information public anyway. And here's one thing that has been observed, especially when it comes to scammers of blackmail scammers. You send 10,000 today. 1-2 weeks later, they are using the same blackmail material, and they're telling you, now we need 15K. And after that, they need 20K. And at this point, you are drowning in debt. Now, to try and preserve your dignity, to make sure that that information don't go viral, you are now borrowing money so you can pay them. Well, that's the worst thing you can do. Because one thing that has been observed by is that these people are never going to stop asking, and you are never going to stop paying. And at some point, you are going to run out of money. And that material is going to be released anyway. Because they will just be like, okay, well, you are not giving us this money. To prove that we are not joking, we are going to put this information online anyway. Now, at this point, not only are you going to have to face the social media backlash, because, the comments on those videos are going to be colorful. Let me give you an example. For those of you that witnessed the very graphic information that came out of Equatorial Guinea, was that late last year or earlier this year? Now, you have to understand, these are wives of parliamentarians, daughters, siblings of parliamentarians. Social media went bananas, especially Telegram, because a lot of platforms kept banning the content, because it's as graphic as you'd think it is. It's basically adult entertainment. Now, why someone would the fact that that happened basically is very crazy. It's very crazy, because you are looking at someone's wife with someone's husband. You'd think they would do their things in the privacy of a hotel room or guest house somewhere. No, these idiots decided to set up a camera. Wow. Talk about... That's just something else. Now, not here to criticize people's fantasy, although that's... I wouldn't call that fantasy. I would call that you need a doctor, like a pronto type of you need a doctor. But anyway, when you're dealing with blackmail, in one way or another, whatever material you don't want to be released, there, in very rare cases, is it really guaranteed to be destroyed? But the thing is, those cases are very rare. More often, they're just going to keep asking and keep asking. And the thing is, what makes it worse is they know that the moment this material finds itself on social media, it's going to spread like wildfire because we don't care. No one is going to look at that and delete. Nope. They will just keep sharing and keep sharing and keep sharing. And that's when basically, that's why it's important to have the discussion of the people creating the content. At least you have control over those. Now, the most important thing that, that the minister said, at least to me, from the entire speech was that, when it comes to content creation, you want to balance between allowing the creator to basically be creative. You don't want to stifle innovation, which is what you do if you overregulate the creative industry. If you overregulate it, the creativeness is going to die. Now, it's then important. That's why I think, that's why that event of last week is not as important as the G20 and the COP30 conference. But when it comes to the creative sector in our country, it was very important to have that discussion because you have to sit content creators down and tell them, you have to understand that, overregulation is bad for any industry. Again, and I can't stress this enough. Actually, well, I'm just going to turn it into a song at this point. Overregulation is impacting service delivery to the point where we are talking about, actually it's in the pipeline of amending our procurement act because there are a lot of red tapes. It's kind of difficult to basically carry out put out a tender or more like provide a service to the public sector without getting into trouble or without being accused of corruption. It's that difficult to the point where we started going, I know we have to regulate this procurement space, but my God, the red tapes are a lot to the point where everyone is scared to move a pen without being told, now you may, by 300 regulators. That's an exaggeration, but you get the point. You have to follow everything to the letter. Or someone is going to write up an article or make a video about you being corrupt and put it on social media and it's going to go viral. Now, during the infamous Oshakati courtroom dough that Helmut and Dwight cannot stop singing about, when the standing committee approached those guys from the Ministry of Works, what was their response? Well, we could have done it, but we have to follow the procurement procedure. In other words, the chances are very high they knew someone who could have welded that door in like less than a day. But the thing is, someone would have made a video of the accusing them of corruption and would be here making fun of them. And also, ACC would have been there, Sankwasa would have been there. So now you have these regulations that must be adhered to, somewhat biblically. Or you could get into trouble. One example. One of the report that came out of the auditor general. I know. Well, David is here. Now, one of the report that came out of the office of the auditor general was on the Minister of Health earlier this year. That report gave me one of those chills of I don't want to be in public office, because they made procurements using emergency procurement. They didn't buy Land Cruisers and Vurupa, no. They bought genuine equipment that was needed by the ministry. The thing is, they were bought using emergency procurement. And they were criticized. The ministry was criticized for that. Now, was it their fault? Partly yes, partly our fault. As in, as the recipient of the service they offer. Why? It's because, well, first of all, we have a procurement procedure that is really long for transparency purpose. Of course, you need the, well, procurement, you need a compartmentalized power structure so that, you know, you don't have concentrated power, because, well, when you concentrate power in a few hands, it's more often abused. And that's true irrespective of who you put in that office or from whatever political party. You can take them from the Vatican City, they will still be corrupt. That's just the human nature. But look, The thing is, I can actually understand why the Ministry of Health did that. It's because every time a tender is put out, and then maybe three competitors apply for that tender and one of them win, the losers contest the winner, and now they are suing each other in court when hostels need food. It's January. So now, when the ministry decides to go the emergency procurement way, they are criticized by their regulators. Fasten a seatbelt for public office. 5 minutes into business and economic segment. Yeah, and it's totally understandable because emergency procurements are expensive, using money we don't have. So it's not the ministry's entire fault. It's also the private sector, aka your small business, your uncles that are creating these companies to apply for this tender. When they are suing each other in court, and a tender is now put on hold, and the clinic needs tablets, what do you want them to do? But you know what? If you just take money, petty cash, and then you buy those tablets, you didn't follow the Procurement Act. Corruption. Anti-corruption. Welcome to the land of the brave. But until tomorrow, same time, same place. This is Helmut signing out. Brings us to the end of Home Run and the beginning of business and economic segment with David Shombe. Until tomorrow, you all stay blessed. Don't drink and drive. It's festive season. It's exciting. I know. Just be safe. Stay away from people's wives.